Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The production of Jesus Christ Superstar, currently running on Broadway, has earned Tony, Drama Desk, and Drama League Award nominations for Best Musical Revival. This production, directed by Des McAnuff, started at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in Ontario, then played the La Jolla Playhouse in California, and is now at the Neil Simon Theater on West 52nd Street in New York City. It's earned enthusiastic reviews each step of the way. Bruce Dow, who plays King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar, joins us now to talk about the show and some other things. Dow has performed in 12 seasons at Stratford and recently appeared in The Tempest, starring Christopher Plummer. Previous Broadway credits include Jane Eyre, The Music Man, and Anything Goes. Bruce Dow, welcome to the Roundtable.
I am honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for making the time. When did you first know you wanted to be an actor?
Oh my gosh. A lot of people I know have wonderful stories of seeing great performers and being deeply moved and feeling drawn to the theater. Mine was when I was 4 years old, watching the old Batman series on TV, and Mommy explained to me that Batman was not actually Batman, but an actor pretending to be Batman, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, and ever since then, I wanted to be an actor.
So Adam West was your inspiration?
Adam West is the whole person to blame for my career, yes. I do hold him personally responsible, so yeah, totally.
You've been at Stratford Shakespeare 12 seasons, I think I read?
It's been 12 seasons over a period of 20 years, so I now have a house there and family and home and stuff. I've been very lucky to be able to work there and then go away and work other places, and then they seem to have wanted me back, so I'm not sure why, but I'm not arguing.
What is special about Stratford?
Stratford is, the spiel is, which is all true, it's North America's largest classical repertory theater company. Annual budget of about $65 million, annual patronage of about $600,000. It brings in about $4 billion to the Ontario and Canadian economy. It's a huge, huge theater company, which for some reason very few people know about. What is exciting for me is simply, first of all, the facilities. You have the Guthrie Theater in Minnesota was based on the Stratford Shakespeare Festival Theater. It's a three-quarter circular thrust that holds 1,800 people, but the last row is never more than 65 feet away from the center of the stage. It's an amazingly intimate space for a large crowd. There's the Avon Theater, which is an old Odeon touring theater, so it's a vaudeville Broadway house type theater. Plus, there's the smaller Tom Patterson 500 seats, which is a long, narrow thrust. It used to be a badminton court. And then the Studio Theater, which they built at the back of the Avon, which is a 250-seat miniature version of the Festival Theater. Now, above and beyond that, it's the only place in North America outside the Metropolitan Opera where everything is made on site. They make boots, shoes, hats, jewelry, costumes from scratch, wigs. Everything is done there. So you're working with not only some of the greatest literature, theater literature, but also and the greatest directors and designers. You're working with the greatest artisans in the theater. So that for me is as big a kick as going to rehearsal, is having a fitting and seeing these master tailors work on a piece of clothing from any period and make it from scratch, rip it apart on your body and put it back together again. That makes it an incredibly exciting place to work.
And when did you first hear that they were doing Jesus Christ Superstar, and then how did you become a part of the production?
I'd heard some rumors, and I thought they'd actually, I think the festival itself had been thinking of doing it for a number of years, even before Des McAnuff came along as the artistic director, simply because it has in sync with the Stratford mandate, it has certainly a classical reference, a contemporary setting. It has all that is required. How I found out I was going to be in it or maybe be a part of it, we were rehearsing The Tempest with Christopher Plummer, and I happened to cross paths with Des McAnuff in the men's room, very glamorous, and he said, "Bruce, we're doing Jesus Christ Superstar. I want you to play Herod. I'll give you a big H." And I thought, oh, Herod? What? Jesus Christ Superstar? What? Oh, Herod, the fat, funny guy. Oh, a big H? What is he talking about? So I had really no idea what was going on. Uh-huh. But I knew that with Des directing it, it was going to be out of the box, and it wouldn't be just the fat, funny guy, and we'd be doing something else with it. So I was incredibly excited.
What does the big H mean?
I get a big H for my entrance. There is a big H. You will have to see it.
The fat funny guy, that could be the role, but because it's Des and you're doing something different. What's different? What is special?
I say the fat funny guy because it's sort of my weight has fluctuated through my career, and so I've played all sorts of parts, but lately, being a little fuller figured, it's sort of gone that way. But no, I mean, the role of Herod it's so brilliantly written. It is the 10:30, 10 o'clock number. It is the comic relief structurally for the piece before we go into the denouement, the climax and the denouement. So it's got to be that moment of breath of fresh air. Hence, the music is that weird 70s rock and roll that refers back to music hall. It's got that vaudevillian feel to it. So there's the funny part. And there's the lightness, which to me is the character. Or the character's attitude is in the music.
So you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need do. Then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus, you just won't believe the hits you made around here. You're all we talk about, the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. Still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you try. For you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews.
Structurally and as a script, it's the first time we see a Jewish political leader. We've seen the priests as political leaders, but this is he's in an occupied country, he is a puppet dictator, which you've also seen contemporary situations of. So we see a man constrained by the laws of another country in his own land. The biggest revelation for me was that he's Herod Antipas, he's not Herod the Great. Herod the Great built the Great Temple. Herod the Great was the one in the early stories of Jesus slaughtered all the youth of a certain age. Now, Herod the Great continued that tradition with his own sons. Antipas was one of them who somehow sneaked through. Technically, he should be the king of the Jews, but he's not. It's an occupied country, and he's one of a set of tetrarchs, four leaders, but he governs Galilee and Perea. So basically, here comes another peasant claiming to be the Christos, the Messiah, the anointed, therefore the king of the Jews, and here's a man saying, I'm the king of the Jews, or I should be, but we're in an occupied country. So what you're playing dramatically as a verse to the music that is imposed on you, that tells you the man's state of mind and the feeling, plus the dramatic structure of the play, that this has to be the light moment that gives the audience relief before they go into the climax and the denouement. It's a brilliantly written piece, and so I think we're delving into it in a different way. I'm hoping that the audience will get some sense of all three or four of those layers.
And the show started at Stratford, went to La Jolla, came to Broadway now. Have you been in a show before that made a transition like that?
The only thing I've ever done like that was the musical version of Jane Eyre, which started in Toronto with Mervish Productions. And then we thought, well, that's where I joined it. It had been done first at MTC, then at the Actors Theatre in Louisville. Then we did Toronto. We thought it was dead. Then it resurrected at the La Jolla Playhouse, and we thought it was dead. And then all of a sudden we were doing it at the Brooks Atkinson on Broadway. So it's – now, this is different. This has been continuous and planned through, and we seem to be selling pretty well, so things are looking good. Jane Eyre was an amazing creative experience, and it was a beautiful show. I'm sad it didn't find an audience on Broadway, but it's a different kind of show. But that's the closest experience I have.
You also direct and write and compose, so you're a man of many hats. How does, or does it, the directing, the writing, the composing, does it roll into a consciousness when you're acting too, or are they separate endeavors?
I think it's all the same thing. If the directing gives me anything, it's the objectivity to look at what is the structural need of the scene for the play. So not simply what is my character doing and what is my character playing and acting on, but it does give me that sense with something like Herod that he serves a dramatic purpose. He serves a thematic purpose, and he also serves a structural purpose. I think the directing side of things gives me that. The composing and writing, I've been very lucky to have two small musicals of mine professionally produced, and which I think people are crazy, but I'm not going to argue. But what that gives to me with the 12 years of piano and theater and music history and stuff like that, I like to think it certainly gives me something to listen to while Jesus Christ Superstar is going on. It's so exciting every night to hear that music and hear what Andrew Lloyd Webber is doing as a composer structurally and thematically and with leitmotif and things like that. So my brain is a little overactive, maybe. Maybe I need to calm down a bit. Maybe it is too much. Maybe I should discuss that with my therapist. I'm not sure.
That's not what I meant.
No, I know. You're lovely. All the self-doubts are on this side of the microphone. So, yeah.
You mentioned, and if this is too personal, no, we don't have to talk about it, your weight fluctuating, and I read that you dealt with anorexia and bulimia, and I thought that it might be, interesting is too light a word, but sort of important to mention it, that men deal with that too. It's not just a teenage girl problem.
You know what? Thank you for bringing it up. In all honesty, where to start with that? No, it certainly is not just a teenage girl problem. For me, it was in theater school. Theater school is very difficult because it does involve sort of ripping yourself apart and trying to put yourself back together. And sometimes you have teachers who are very good and constructive with it, and sometimes you have teachers who are not. I don't mean to sound like I'm blaming any eating disorders on that. But I felt I wanted to be a leading man. And I was a skinny kid. I sort of chunked out a bit in high school. Going into university, I thought, let's get rid of it. Then I had my first relationship, and that blew up, and I somehow decided it was because I was too fat, which I certainly wasn't. Food is about a sense of control. I had no control over who I was at school, who I was in life, where I thought I was going, and obviously with relationships I felt I had no control. So the only thing I could control was my eating. And through cigarettes, and back then it was Tab before Diet Coke, and eating. I was 5'11" and down to 145 pounds, which is really, really skinny. And then I did that for a long time, and I did do some leading man roles and some romantic stuff and whatever. But I was basically a very unhappy person and trying to be something I wasn't. Then I went through a lovely period of the bulimia, which was so much fun because then I could eat everything I want and get rid of it. I have one particular favorite memory of being an understudy when I was my first year at Stratford, understudying in HMS Pinafore, understudying the male lead, and feeling very insecure about that. But I decided the best thing to do was layer Kentucky Fried Chicken with donuts, and then when I was throwing it up, I would know how many layers I had to go till I was empty. The huger point of this is learning to try to appreciate who you are. When I realized that this was physically hurting me as well as mentally and emotionally, I was able to start eating again, and certainly the weight came on. I'm also on the other side of things that I'm very lucky. My blood pressure is great. My cholesterol is great for a heavy guy. Being a heavier actor, I think you have to be physically fit underneath the beauty to be able to support it and do what I have to do. I have to hit the ground running, do a 3-minute number with dancers half my age and get off the stage. So I don't want to advocate in any way overeating or obesity, but it's finding who you are and where. And it's really who I discovered who I was as an artist as soon as the weight arrived. I started getting all these parts I'd never even thought about before. And they're exciting, and they're different, and they're more interesting than the leading man roles, and in many ways more satisfying. And so I do a lot of work with students, and a lot of stuff I talk about, because I see students are young women who will be character actors later in life. They're going to have a hard stretch until they get to a certain age, but they have to keep going, and they have to keep working, and have to keep building the resume somehow. Starving yourself to death and hurting yourself is not going to do that. The same thing for young men. If a kid's a bit chunky in college, he's going to be too young to be a character actor right away. There are more character ingenue roles for men than for women, but it's also, it's learning to be who you are and be okay with it and be healthy. The only other thing I would add is working at a place like Stratford, I've had great opportunities to work outside the box. I mentioned the fat, funny guy with the hair thing because I thought, oh, he's putting me back in the box. But I know that Des would put me there knowing that I would go out of the box with the part. But I played the MC in Cabaret completely unexpected for my body type. The Baker in Into the Woods, Solanio and The Merchant of Venice, roles that generally are played by entirely different looks. So I think once a director gets to know you and knows what you can do, they'll know they can cast you in anything. But it's a long journey, and it's a continuous journey.
Thank you very much for your time and continued fun and success with Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, thank you for this lovely conversation. You're a delight, and this has just been wonderful. Thank you so much, and thanks for asking the questions. That's important.
Bruce Dow plays King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar, which is currently running at the Neil Simon Theater on West 52nd Street in New York City. To learn more, visit superstaronbroadway.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.